Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Way back in the 90s, I can't believe I can say that way back because it's been quite a while now. Jennifer and I, we took some classes that had to do with what's the best time for ministry opportunities for families. And what it really all comes down to was that when families are in transition, that's the best time to be able to reach them. And when I say transition in families, I mean like when a couple first gets married, or when a first child is born, becoming empty nesters, and even when there is a death of one of the spouses. When we look at these, they are times when the past ends and something new begins. You know, like for 18 years, kids lived in your home, and then off to college they go. Those years are not gone and forgotten, but now something new has arrived. And in these transitions, the unknown stretches out in front of you. What's next? How will these changes affect me? Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and we see quite a change in Jesus, brightly shining, clothes whiter than any white everyone has ever seen. Quite a change indeed. But with Jesus stands Moses and Elijah. Ever wonder why? Why those two in particular? I mean, why not Adam and Noah? Why not Abraham and David? Well, Pastor, Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets. I'm sure you've been told many times. And technically that is true. But the question remains, why? Why are they there? Why do they arrive only to leave again? Well, let's see if we can tie all this together with the Mount of Transfiguration. So as we begin, you've probably noticed that there was 2 Old Testament readings this morning. They are both actually appointed readings for this Sunday in our church lectionary. Pastors usually choose one or the other, but bonus today, we got them both. And so we're going to look at them, and we're going to start with Moses. So to begin with, the people had built a golden calf to worship while Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law, that is the Ten Commandments, as we call them. When he returned, he smashed the tablets, and then he pleaded with God, or the Lord, not to destroy the people because of their sin. So, as some time has passed, Moses goes back up on the mountain to receive the law again. And this is where our reading picks up. With the tablets in hand, he goes down and he gathers all of the people together. And Moses now becomes the lawgiver. Only he does not know that his face is shining because he was in the presence of God. And this happened over and over. Each time he would go up and he would talk with the Lord, The Lord would give him commands for Moses to go down and pass along to the people. And each time Moses returned, his face shone with God's presence. Every time, as he gave more law commands from the Lord. It's kind of funny if you think about it, because the people feared the Lord to the point to where they did not want to see or hear him. They wanted Moses to go up and talk to the Lord, and then he could relay all of God's words and commands back to them. And yet when he did this, they again did not want to see the face of Moses. The glory of the Lord reflecting off Moses was simply too much. So he had to wear a veil to shield his face. So here we see Moses in transition from rescuer, from leader, to now a brightly shining lawgiver. And then after nearly 40 years, Moses makes a rather unceremonious exit. Still healthy, still strong, still mentally sharp, he dies in Moab, and the Lord buries him there. His work for the Lord simply put on hold. A rather quiet end for such a large biblical figure. So the shining-faced lawgiver, Moses, really is easy to connect with the transfiguration. But what about Elijah? Elijah is perhaps one of the best known prophets in the Old Testament. He did not write a book like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, but his history is just as well known through the first book of Kings. Now we first meet Elijah as he stands before Ahab and announces the coming of a 3-year drought. And as we read farther, we see that he is filled with the Spirit and the power of the Lord. And whether he is standing before kings, speaking God's word to them, slaying 400 false prophets of Baal, or raising a widow's dead son, he was certainly a prophet who was on fire for the Lord. Of course, there was that one time when he hid and said, "Lord, just kill me now. I can't take any more." But the Lord forgave him, and he went on to do great things for the Lord while preaching the word that God had given to him. See, Elijah is often seen as a foreshadow of one of which Jesus said, "None greater among those born of women." He is the prefigured John the Baptist in the Old Testament. Now, the birth of Moses and his early years are well documented in Exodus, along with his subdued, even quiet death. But Elijah bursts onto the scene seemingly out of nowhere, and his departure from this earth is unlike anything ever seen before or since. While walking along, after having crossed the river, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appear. Separating the men, Elijah is taken up to heaven. Still healthy, still strong, still mentally sharp. But away he goes, and his work for the Lord, like Moses, is put on hold. Why, you're probably asking? Because there is one thing left for them to do. Remember, we started by saying the greatest place for ministry is during transition. Well, the greatest transition in human history is about to take place. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain, and there Jesus is transfigured, brightly shining, his clothes whiter than any white could ever be. And then Moses and Elijah are there. Both men back for one last act of their ministry. What started hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before ends this day. Both men have one last thing to do. And that thing was to leave. In that moment, on that mountain, While Jesus is shining, Peter is running around with the others, so frightened. The Old Testament way of how God dwelt with his people, that is, all people, comes to an end. And the new way, Jesus, begins. There is no longer any need for the law Moses gave for salvation. Yes, it is good. The law is perfect, but it cannot save sinful people. It can only condemn. There is no longer any need for great prophets like Elijah. Yes, he was great. He spoke God's word. That is, he told other people what God told him. Well, not anymore. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Want to know what God has to say? Listen to Jesus. In fact, as the men are all on the mountain, a cloud covered it, and the voice of the Father surrounds them. This is my Son, listen to him. And with that statement, Moses and Elijah are gone, and the transition complete. From that moment on, Jesus' ministry movement is to Jerusalem and his fulfillment of the law. The law can only be satisfied by the shedding of blood. And on that Good Friday, Jesus is beaten, flogged, and nailed to the cross. The Son of God takes our sin upon himself, paying our price. We receive forgiveness, true forgiveness from the only death that can forgive, his death for you. For 3 years, Jesus taught and he preached. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit moved Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to write down the words of Jesus as they listened to him. As we hear God speak to us through these texts, the Holy Spirit comes with them, creating faith and building faith. Faith to believe the truth of those words spoken directly to us. As great as Elijah was, we don't need another one. We have the Son. The Son who said, "Those who have seen me have seen the Father." The Son who said, "I and the Father are one." The Son who said, "The words I speak are given to me by my Father." In fact, not only does he tell me what to say, but he tells me how to say it. When you have Jesus, who saved us by his death and resurrection, who speaks directly to us the words of the Father, it becomes very clear that at the transfiguration, the need for the law and the prophets for salvation has ended. Moses and Elijah were great biblical features and men of enormous faith, and we praise God for them, for their mighty works pointing people to salvation. But we don't need them any longer. We have Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you have all you need. Amen.